The Crow Nation in Montana, also known as the Apsaliga, have lived on or fought over lands on the northern plains for centuries. The Crow Nation lives off its Montana reservation land any way it can, and it has a plan to open a second open-pit coal mine, 1.4 billion tons of coal, in cooperation with Cloud Peak Energy of Wyoming, to deliver coal to customers as far away as Vietnam and Korea. The coal mine is a great deal for Cloud Peak Energy, coming as prices and demand for coal are depressed. The tribe will get some relatively quick cash, but nearly 60 coal mines have closed in only the last 3 years. Here to show how the Crow's mining plans fit into the tribe's history, ancient and modern, is Amy Martin, a radio producer based in Missoula, Montana. Her extended reporting on the Crow tribe and coal can be heard at Inside Energy, a public media collaboration focused on America's energy issues. Amy, how would you say the Crow frame the discussion of their needs economically and the notion of climate change and use of coal and carbon, that sort of thing?
I think for the Crow, it really comes down to self-sufficiency. There's been such a long and brutal history of oppression of indigenous peoples in our country, and I think that that has left many Native communities without the means to provide for themselves. And in the case of the Crow, they have this resource. You know, they have about 9 billion tons of coal on the reservation, they estimate. And for them, at least for most of the people I talk to, that feels like a way to pull themselves out of poverty, provide for their families, provide for their community, you know, in the future. And, you know, I think some people are concerned about climate change and global warming, but that probably feels, and I mean, I hesitate to try to speak for anyone here, but from the people I talk to, I think it feels like that's the 30,000-foot level, and then there's this very immediate need staring them in the face.
It's important that we need to think about global warming, think about what we're doing to the earth and to try to, you know, take care of the earth. And but, you know, at the same time, it's hard because we depend on it so much too, you know.
Parents love to provide for their kids. It brings pride, it brings health. That's what every parent desires to do. And so the coal mine in our community, that's the opportunity it brings, and it helps for self-sufficiency, to be able to determine our own future.
Now, those two voices, Amy, are from the school there that you spoke with that has an understanding of both the global warming and the needs of the tribe.
Yes, exactly. The first person was Lucy Whiteman runs him. She's just about to finish her master's degree. She's a student teacher at the moment. She grew up on the Crow Reservation. And the second voice was Jason Cummins. He's the principal of Crow Agency Elementary School. He also grew up on the reservation. And, you know, both of them are a perfect example of the conundrum that they're in. You know, I think that there are these larger environmental concerns, but Lucy's husband works in the existing mine, and their family of four young children, you know, they depend on his income. And Jason told me that, you know, as a little boy, his father worked in the existing mine, and he was so proud, you know, as a little boy to see his father come home from this long day of work every day. And that job provided, you know, not only income, but a sense of purpose and dignity and a pride that, you know, their family was able to take care of themselves.
Is the relationship with coal a long one? And is that what the leadership of the Crow say when you talk to them about this use of coal on their land as a resource for the tribe?
Yeah, the first mine, the Apsaliga mine, opened in the, I think, 1972. It was in the early 1970s. So they've been, you know, providing for themselves from coal, you know, for 40 years now.
How much of an environmental threat is there to have an open pit mine on the reservation itself? And is that a concern? It's certainly been a concern for open pit mine communities around elsewhere in the United States.
Yeah, you know, I didn't actually hear anyone raising those concerns. I think the open pit mining is safer for workers than underground mining usually. But, you know, there's coal dust that gets kicked up for sure. And there are, you know, risks in that kind of mining work as well. I actually didn't hear anyone raise those questions, though. I think when you're looking at the prospect of those jobs, that all feels kind of secondary.
What about the exact amount of money that the tribe would be getting? This is a time of depressed prices for the commodity, and really it's a bit of a fire sale for Peak Energy, especially since the coal is going to some international customers as well as U.S. markets.
Well, yes, you're getting into the thing that I think is maybe the biggest rub here, which is that if this mine had been developed 40 years ago, it would be a very different story. But right now, coal prices are at a 10-year low. It all depends on getting the coal out of the United States. There's going to be some domestic demand for a while, but to really make money off of this coal, they need to ship it overseas and particularly to Asia. And to make that happen, there are a couple of new ports that need to be developed in Washington state. And those ports are very controversial. There are actually other Native American tribes who are protesting those ports because one of them is on their land or near their land. And it's not at all clear that those ports are going to actually get permitted and get put in. And if they don't get put in, it's not clear that Cloud Peak Energy is actually going to develop all of the coal that they have the rights to now. And so, you know, there's some concern among the tribe, particularly there's a woman I talked to named Carolyn Pease Lopez, and she's a representative of the Crow tribe in the Montana legislature. She was the only person I talked to actually who raised any concerns at all, and her biggest concern was, is this actually going to be economically viable for the tribe?
I just hope that there's some other resource that we have that we can count on. I mean, if the markets start declining for our commodity that we do have, I just hope that we're finding something else that we can support our people with so that our families can be fed and our communities can be rebuilt.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on what kind of other options there might be?
Actually, I don't.
Options for the Crow Nation and the energy resource of coal there on the reservation. Amy Martin is a radio producer based in Missoula, Montana. Amy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Her extended reporting on the Crow tribe and coal can be heard at Inside Energy, a public media collaboration focused on America's energy issues.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.